You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from theheart.org on Medscape.
Hi, everyone. This is John Mandrola from theheart.org on Medscape. This is This Week in Cardiology for November 20th, 2015. This is a Down Under version of This Week in Cardiology. I'm here in Melbourne, Australia for the Asia Pacific Heart Rhythm Society meetings. This is the first day of the meeting. Today I'm going to talk about WATCHMAN, PCSK9 inhibitors, cryptogenic stroke, disclosing genetic risk as a motivator, and coffee drinking. First up, and I think the biggest story of the week, is the WATCHMAN story. Both CMS and FDA came out recently with a very restrictive proposal for WATCHMAN use in the United States. CMS announced that there is enough evidence to show that the use of the left atrial appendage device occlusion device is not, I repeat, not reasonable and necessary for managing patients with atrial fibrillation who are treatable with warfarin. They therefore say it should not be covered. Now instead, they say that WATCHMAN reimbursement should cover the device for patients who are not receiving warfarin or who cannot receive warfarin, which is so unusual to me because so striking to me that these patients were not included in the randomized controlled trials, but yet CMS says those are the patients we should be using a device for. So the decision memo is a remarkable read. I'd urge you to take a look at it. It said that WATCHMAN should be covered only when multiple criteria have been met. Now the first one is that there's a high CHADS VAS score and high HAS blood score and a contraindication to warfarin. Other criteria include EP labs that have the adequate equipment, that's reasonable. Also, another requirement is that doctors have significant experience with transseptal punctures and have done the industry education course. The patient who gets the WATCHMAN must be enrolled in a prospective registry. And finally, I think which is also interesting, is that a shared decision-making interaction and an evidence-based anticoagulation tool should be used. It should be documented in the chart, including a discussion of the risks and benefits of the device. Also required to be documented is a discussion about the rationale for using non-pharmacologic means to prevent stroke. Now, it's important to make note that this is only a proposal. This is open for comments now, and I'm sure there'll be lots of comments about this. But I found this to be very surprising that they came out with this degree of restriction of WATCHMAN. Next up, I want to talk about the PCSK9 inhibitor evacumab. The National Institute of Health and Care Excellence, NICE, in the UK, came out with a draft that said they will not recommend covering the drug evacumab. They explained that although the PCSK9 inhibitor lowers LDL levels, there is not sufficient evidence to show that it reduces cardiovascular outcomes. And if you can't show reduction of cardiovascular outcomes, it's very difficult to do a cost-efficacy analysis. Now, this decision is opposite that was made in the U.S., and I think it nicely highlights the difference between the two healthcare systems. In the U.K., healthcare is provided to all, and obviously the resources are not unlimited. So cost decisions and analysis of outcomes like this are central to making these difficult decisions. Next up, I want to talk about an interesting study looking at the mechanism of cryptogenic stroke. So this was a study presented at the World Neurology Conference in South America in Chile, and the investigators actually looked at the clot that was extracted from patients who had an acute intervention. So they were doing a histological analysis for things like the proportion of fibrin to platelets and red blood cells versus white cells. And they found, actually, that the patients who had cryptogenic stroke, when they looked at their clots, they looked histologically similar to the clots that came from patients with known cardioembolic sources. And so the study, they admit, is not definitive, and they also say that these sorts of histologic techniques are not available in the real world. But is this, they ask, a possible clue that patients with cryptogenic stroke may be better treated with anticoagulants rather than antiplatelet drugs. It's early, and it's an but it's an interesting study nonetheless. Next, I wanted to mention a study that looked at the effect of disclosing genetic risk to patients with intermediate risk for coronary heart disease. Now, this was called the MI Gene Study. It was presented at AHA, and the investigators looked at what happened in the future to patients who were told about their genetic risk. So they looked at 103 patients, about 100 randomized to conventional information. They were told their 10-year cardiovascular risk, and the other group was told what their genetic risk would be based on a panel of genetic tests. Now, 6 months, the investigators found that those who were told their genetic risk had lower LDL levels and more often took statin drugs. And again, important caveats here include the fact that this genetic panel is not available in the real world, and so this is really a proof of concept study. But I think it's a glimpse into the future of precision medicine where we can more precisely tell patients what their risk is, and maybe that will more effectively change lifestyle type decisions. Finally, good news for coffee drinkers. This was a pooled analysis of the three largest observational trials that looked at cardiovascular outcomes and coffee consumption. This was a Harvard Public Health study. It looked at more than 200,000 patients. Follow-up was 20 to 30 years. And the bottom line was that drinking up to 3 cups of coffee per day associates with lower mortality. So this is just more evidence for the lack of harm from coffee drinking. And I tell patients that if drinking coffee or caffeinated beverages causes you to have palpitations and symptoms, and you feel better not drinking coffee, then don't drink coffee. But I wouldn't avoid coffee because you think it's harmful for your future health. In fact, with the caveats of observational trials, coffee may even be somewhat helpful or protective. Now, obviously, I say that, but this is an observational study, and there are a lot of confounding factors that may go into why patients who drink coffee have lower mortality. But nonetheless, I mention it because any good news about coffee, I'm happy to report. Now, finally, a note about next week. Next week is holidays in the U.S., so we're going to not have This Week in Cardiology. Next week, we will resume in 2 weeks. So until then, this is John Mandrola from theheart.org on Medscape.
You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from theheart.org on Medscape.